Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. It is good to see all of you here today. What a great crowd for Father's Day. And I know everybody's already said Happy Father's Day, but Happy Father's Day. My name is April. If you don't know me, I'm our Wellspring Kids Team leader here. I get to lead all of these amazing volunteers that are taking care of your kids, and I get to be a part of their all these kids' little lives. It was so good. As Trey mentioned earlier, we had two of them be baptized this morning, and what a blessing it is just to see God moving in their lives. And I am honored to get to be here today. I was telling everybody first hour, just preparing for today has made me so thankful for this church. I am just so thankful that I get to be a part of Wellspring Church, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Trey and Danielle and for their leadership and just for giving me the opportunity to get to be here today on Father's Day. It's such a special day to spend with you. And my dad is watching earlier, or probably sometime today, from Alabama, so happy Father's Day to him. And also, I have the privilege of having an amazing husband. My husband is Eric Colquitt, who's also on staff here at Wellspring, and I am so thankful every day for the dad that he is to our three kids. We have children who are ages 11, 9, and 5.5. So I don't know if any of you are in those phases of life or have been or approaching those phases of life, but if you are anything like us in our home, mealtime is one of the most difficult times of day to please everybody. You cannot please everybody. Everybody wants something different, but we have at least two nights of the week in our house that I can count on to be easy for me, and everybody else is going to love it, and that is obviously pizza night, right? And the other one is taco night, and taco night has really risen to the top of the list, I guess, at our house, because pizza night is really hard. Nobody agrees on what pizza toppings we want. So it's pretty much taco night at our house is the favorite. And so a few years ago, I decided that I was going to take taco night to a whole nother level because I was going to start making homemade salsa. Now, I had tasted somebody else's homemade salsa, and I decided, that's it. I'm never going back to jarred salsa again. And I haven't. I actually learned how to make it, and it's one of the things that I know I make really well. Every mom or dad, if you cook at home for your house, you need at least a few meals or a few things in your back pocket that you know you make really well, and one of mine is my salsa. And it has just really become a staple in our home. I pretty much always have the things on hand that I need to make it, except for this one time. And I know this has probably happened to you. You make something so frequently that you don't even think about the ingredients. So I went and started pulling out all the stuff to make the salsa, and I realized that I was missing two key ingredients. If you don't know much about salsa, the things I was missing were cumin and cilantro. So I thought, I can still make it without those things. I had a jar of salsa in the pantry that had been there for I don't know how long, but I decided that if I would just make the salsa, it was still going to be better than the jarred salsa. So I thought, nobody will even notice. They're not even going to notice. Well, I was wrong. They noticed, of course, because if you have kids, you know, if you tweak a recipe, their flavor profiles are like, I mean, they have good palates, and they can taste the difference in foods, or at least mine can. So they knew that it was different. It was okay. It was just okay. It wasn't great. It was edible. We ate it, but none of us were really satisfied with it. What could have been amazing if I'd had the right ingredients was just kind of mediocre. It kind of makes me think, one of the shows that we love to watch as a family is MasterChef Junior. Do you guys know the show? Or MasterChef? It's with Gordon Ramsay, and it's one of the few shows that we can watch with our kids that everybody kind of likes and we can enjoy. Okay, so there's like these 9 and 10-year-old kids who are these master chefs, truly. Like, they can make meals that are for a 5-star restaurant. And so Gordon Ramsay will taste their food, and he'll sometimes say, did you taste this? And if they say no, he'll say, taste it and tell me what it's missing. 9 times out of 10, it's missing salt or some type of seasoning that they didn't get quite right. The point that I want to make is that when we leave out key ingredients, we are left unsatisfied. We are left wanting more. You might know this feeling. If somebody has been talking about a movie for a long time, they're like, you've got to go see this movie. It's so good. You're going to love it. And you finally go see it, and you walk out of the movie theater, and you're like, it was okay. It wasn't everything I thought it was going to be. Or maybe you ask your boss for 6 days of vacation. I mean, after all, it's summer. You ask for some vacation days, and he says, well, you can't have six, but you can have five. So you take 5 days of vacation, and it's a good vacation. But it could have been better if you'd had just that one more day. You know, it's that feeling of wanting more. It is the human way. This is what we do. We are always chasing more. Maybe you have a certain standard of living that you've set for yourself. And in order to maintain that standard of living, you've acquired some debt. And now you need more money to pay for the debt. Maybe you have a great job that you really love and you're doing great at your job. You are really doing well for yourself, but you are working night and day so that you can get more clients and be more successful. Maybe you started working out. Are there anybody in here that works out? I know there's some of you that are workout gurus, and you are changing and you are seeing results, but it's not enough. You want to lose more weight and to build more muscle. It's just not enough yet. Or maybe for students, you guys are killing it at practice or you're on your dance classes and you're doing amazing, but you go home and you practice more so you can get even more playtime on the field and even more recognition from your coaches and your sport. Chasing more is what we do. Parents, maybe you have a house that you loved and it was great, and then you decided to have some kids, and now you need more space to meet the needs of your growing family. And because you have more space, you said, hey, let's have more kids. And now that you've got more kids, you need more, what? Sleep. You need more sleep and money, because more kids just means you need more sleep and money, right? Why do we do this? Why are we always chasing more? And what does God have to say about our pursuit of more? This is what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks as we're really kicking off summer of more today. Because I think there are some myths out there about what God has to say about more. And so I have even fallen into those traps myself at times. And I'm excited to share with you what God's taught me and what I've learned, because my life is so much better now. And I want to help you get there too. So today we're going to look at just one of those myths. And I think some of you here might be able to identify with this. And it is, if I get too close to God, I'll have to give up the good things in my life. If I get too close to God, I'll have to give up the good things in my life. Maybe you don't even, you haven't even put words on that yet. But when you hear me say that, that resonates with you. What that looks like is maybe for you, you worry that if you get too close to God, you're going to have to give up some of your friends. Or maybe if you get too close to God, you're not going to be able to have fun anymore. You're going to just have to stop having fun and life is going to be boring. Maybe you think if you get too close to God, he's going to take all of your money. You're going to have to give away all your money. Or maybe you think God's going to make you sell all of your possessions and move to Africa. I don't know. Whatever it is, you may be able to relate to this, because I grew up in church. I've been in church my whole life, and I've been learning about God since I was this high. But I have fallen into the trap of believing that if I get too close to God, that he's going to take good things from me. And so if you are new to church or you haven't spent a lot of time learning about God yet, I could see where you might think this too. But the truth is that God actually wants more for us than we could ever even imagine. He wants more good things for us than we've even begun to think about asking for ourselves. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Not only does God want more good things for us, he wants more life for us. He wants more life for us. If you've never read your Bible, you may be familiar with this verse. You've probably seen it on a banner at a football game or a sporting event, and it's John 3:16. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Now, that eternal life is not something that we wrestle to believe in. We want to believe that there is eternal life, that there's forever life, a heaven. And we certainly hope that we're going there. So we don't have a hard time understanding and getting the fact that God wants more life for us. That's what we hope for, right? But what we more often miss is that God actually wants more for us right now. He doesn't just want life for us after death. He wants more life for us right now, and he desires to give us a rich and satisfying life. We can find this truth woven throughout the entire Bible. But in this series and today, we're going to look at just two verses that help illustrate this point, and they're both found in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you don't know a lot about the Bible, I can tell you that Ephesians is a letter that's written by a man named Paul. And Paul was a real person in history, and he did not always believe the teachings of Jesus until he had a real encounter with Jesus. And then Paul spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel and teaching people and encouraging Christians everywhere. And so that's what Ephesians is. Ephesians is a letter to encourage the Christians at the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians, Paul speaks exactly to what we're talking about today. Look at Ephesians 2:10. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me or you can read it here on the screen with me. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Now, when I read this verse, the word masterpiece just kind of leaps off the page at me because I like the idea of being a masterpiece. I actually had the opportunity this past week to talk to our students at house party, and we talked about this very thing, and I told them what a masterpiece is. I said, a masterpiece is something that is carefully crafted. Some versions of this verse actually say that it's God's handiwork. A masterpiece is God's handiwork. And so a masterpiece means that you're not thoughtlessly thrown together haphazardly, a little of this here and a little of this there. You are carefully crafted by the God of the universe. You are a masterpiece. But I don't want us to get hung up on the word masterpiece and miss the rest of what Paul is telling us in this verse. Because he actually tells us the reason why we're created a masterpiece. If you've ever wondered what your purpose is or why you're created, it's right here. He says, we are created in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It says it right there. Good things that he planned. You may be saying, yeah, but what good things did God plan? What good things are we really talking about? But it's not rocket science. The good things that God wants for us, good things are anything that has a desirable quality. So for you, you might say, well, I want to have a good job, or I want to have a good education. I want to marry a good person. I want to have good kids. I want to listen to good music. I want to have a good time, or I want to eat good food. Those are all things that we would agree that we want, right? But those are not just good things that we want. Those are all God things. Those are all things that are created and designed by God first, and they're his idea. And so we worry about getting too close to God because we're afraid that we're going to have to give up the good things that we want. But the truth is, the good things that we want are all God things first. Parents, think about this with me for a minute. Don't you want good things for your kids? Don't you want them to have the very best life that they can have? And don't you work to give them all the things that they need to set them up for success? It's no different than with God, because God is our heavenly Father. And he has given us everything that we need. He created us a masterpiece. He didn't leave anything out. He's given us all the things that we need to be able to enjoy good things in life that he planned for us. I mentioned earlier that I have a dad, and he lives in Alabama. I had a great relationship with my dad growing up for the most part. I always knew that my dad loved me and that he had my best interests in mind. And even when I was a teenager, when I was 14, 15 years old, and we didn't agree on anything, I still knew that my dad wanted good things for me. But maybe that's not the case with you. maybe you didn't have a good example of a loving father. And so when you hear me say that God is your heavenly father who loves you, you might be a little skeptical. If you had an experience with your dad where he wasn't around very much, or he abandoned you and your mom, or if you had a father who had such high expectations that you could never please him and you could never reach the level of expectation that he set for you, maybe you felt like your dad never really liked you and you didn't like him. If that's your experience with your dad, I can see where you would be skeptical when you hear that God is your heavenly father. But the problem with that is we tend to define God from earth up, not heaven down. See, we assign characteristics to God based on our limited human knowledge and experiences. But God is so much more than that. And I heard somebody say one time that the most important thought you'll ever have is what you think of when you think about God. So what I would ask you today is, what is the first thought you have when you think about God? What comes to mind when you just think about God? What pops into your mind? Maybe you think of God as the big man upstairs. He's just this big, powerful force in the sky who is watching you and waiting to see when you're going to do the next right thing or the next wrong thing. And he's going to be dishing out the right consequences or blessings based on your behaviors. If that's what you think, you need to go back and listen to Pastor Trey's message called Losing My Religion that he did a few months ago. It's a series that he taught, and he talks about vertical morality. That is not who God is. We serve a God of grace. But maybe you think of God as a chess master or a master manipulator, and you envision him sitting on a big white throne, tapping his fingers on the table, stroking a long white beard. He's wearing a white robe. And he's just thinking and wondering what his next move is going to be. Or maybe for you, God is just a relic, a belief system that once was, but now it's just meshed with all the other beliefs that are out there, and you're not really sure what to believe. Or maybe you don't even care. If that is what you think, I can understand how you are skeptical of God. But the truth is that the true character of God can be summed up in two words: love and good. Everything good comes from God, who loves us and wants good things for us. But we buy into the lie that if we get too close to God, that we're going to have to give up the good things that we want or the things that we want to do. And so we keep God at a safe distance. And that is where we start to buy into that myth that if I get too close to God, I'll have to give up the good things in my life. If I get too close to him, I'm going to have to sacrifice all the things that I want to do. But the things that you want are also things that God wants. I want to look at what Paul says just one chapter over in Ephesians 3, because it's not just that God created us a masterpiece for good things. He actually created us for more things, as I said earlier, than we've even began to think about for ourselves. Look at what he wrote in Ephesians 3. He says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." God made you a masterpiece, but he has made you for more. You are made for more. You are made for more. Remember the salsa recipe the salsa story that I told you about earlier where I'd left some things out of my recipe? God does not intentionally leave things out. I wasn't satisfied with my salsa because I knew what it was missing and I knew how much better it could be if it had all the right ingredients. God is the only one who knows exactly what you need because you are his masterpiece and he's planned those good things for you. He knows what you need to experience all the more that you're looking for. You are made for more than you could ever possibly imagine. And so if we want to experience the more in our life, The key to doing that is for us to recognize that the master who made you is more. He is the more that we need. He can give us all the right ingredients that we're looking for. He can give us all the right things that we need to make our life the very best life possible. Doesn't it make sense for us to trust the person who made us, the one who created us to be a masterpiece, to know the things that we need to have the best and more for our time, the best and more for our relationships? Doesn't it make sense that if God designed friendship and relationship, and God designed us, that we would trust Him to show us how to get more from those relationships? If God is the author of time, and we want more time, doesn't it make sense that we would trust Him to show us how to get more time and the most of our time? He is the one who can unlock the door for more in every area of your life, more for your finances, more for your success, more for your job, more for your relationships with your family, even more fun. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He wants us to enjoy life. God can show us how to have more fun and more pleasure in life. So wouldn't we trust Him? So what I would encourage you to do today, if you are looking for more in your life, not only know that the master who made you is more, but also move towards the master of more. You've got to move a little bit closer to the one who holds the key to the door to unlock your capacity for more. Move towards Him. Close the gap that you have created between you and God, because you are afraid that if you get too close that you're going to have to give up all the good things that you want in life. Maybe you've put up a wall between you and God and you've said, I'm going to stay over here where it's nice and safe. You need to break down that wall a little bit and step closer so that God can begin to show you those things that you are lacking, where you're not feeling completely satisfied, where you're chasing more, 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 but you're still coming up short. God isn't trying to take things from you. He wants to give you more. He doesn't want more from you. He wants more for you. And when you move close to God, you're not going to be losing your freedom. You're going to be gaining your freedom. We have this bunny rabbit that has been coming around our yard for over a year now. And it's like a domestic pet that somebody has let go. And I don't know if it's a girl or a boy, but we named her Daisy. And so Daisy, when she first started coming around, she was very skeptical and skittish and scared. She wouldn't get very close to us, and she wouldn't let us get close to her. And so I'm sure she thought we wanted to capture her and put her back in a cage, but that was never our intention. She was just being, taking care of herself, self-protecting, as her natural instincts would lead her to do. But we started putting out food for Daisy. And eventually she would come and eat the food that we put out for her, but only if we were at a safe distance, like inside our porch. And so she would come every day and eat food in our yard. And one day I thought, I wonder what would happen if I held out some food for her. And it took several weeks, but eventually I was able to get Daisy to move closer to me and see that I wasn't going to capture her. I wasn't even going to touch her. I just wanted to give her something good, that I had something good for her in my hand if she would just come closer. So now Daisy comes to our yard every day for good food, and she trusts that we can get close to her and we're not going to hurt her. We're not going to put her in a cage and we're not going to capture her. She just comes for the good food. And then about 3 months ago, Daisy started bringing, this other bunny showed up. And it's a weird thing, I know, it's a weird thing that's going on in our neighborhood. And it's not like she had babies. This is another rabbit that someone has released in our neighborhood, and it's a gray bunny, and so I named him the Gray Gatsby. I don't know if you guys are literary fans, but I love to read, and so if you do too, you'll understand the reference. But we have Daisy and Gatsby, and so Gatsby was also very skittish and skeptical at first, just like Daisy. But eventually, Gatsby and Daisy became friends, and we are so excited that she had a friend, and they built this bond. And so Daisy led Gatsby and taught him where the good food is. And so now Gatsby comes to our yard every day, twice a day, and he even lets me pet him. So what I want you to see is that God isn't dangling a good thing out in front of you. He's not holding out a carrot or a piece of celery and trying to lead you close to him only to snatch it away. He wants to give you good things. He is not trying to capture you or cage you in. He just wants you to move closer to where the good stuff is. When you come close to God, he's able to show you and prove to you that he has nothing but more good for you, more than you could ever imagine. Listen, we put out some good stuff for Gatsby and Daisy. They get all the good table scraps of fruits and vegetables, more than they ever thought they would get. They get good bunny food, and they are healthy because they've learned to trust us and come to our yard where the good stuff is. That's what God wants to do for you. Stop being afraid. I know it's hard and it does require some trust on your part. And I know that can be scary. But if you will just move a little bit closer, God will show you the good things that he has for you. And you will start to experience the more that you've been searching for everywhere else, but coming up short. Because he is the only one who really can open the door to more for your life, because he made you and he knows exactly what you need. You may be here today and thinking, oh, I'm already running around in green pastures. I'm already experiencing and I've seen what God can do in my life. Maybe you know how good God is and how he can do infinitely more for you than you ever thought. But perhaps you have a friend, a Gatsby, who's still searching for more. You might be the one who could influence them and lead them to where the good things are. Maybe you can be the one to help them see that God's character is not to hurt them or harm them, but that he wants more good for them than they've ever thought possible. Share your story with them. Share with them what God's done in your life. Bring them with you to Wellspring, where they can taste and see for themselves how good God is. Wherever you find yourself today, I want to encourage you just to move towards the master of more. Whether you find yourself already experiencing the good things that God has, or if you're way in the back, afraid to get too close, move towards the master of more, because he wants to do good things for you. He has made you for more, and he can unlock the capacity in your life to experience more than you ever thought possible in every area of your life. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. Thank you for making us your masterpiece. Thank you for caring enough that you have so carefully crafted us and created us to be more than we've ever even thought possible. You have made us to be more than we've ever even imagined, and you have more good things planned for us than we would ever even think to ask you for. I pray that if there's anybody here today, God, who is skeptical, who has a wall up and is afraid of getting too close, that they would find courage to move towards you, the master of more, the one who is good, the one who loves them. I pray that you would reveal your true character, God, that we would see you and know you for who you really are, that we wouldn't fall into a trap of believing that you want to capture us or take our freedom, but that you want to give us so much good. If anybody here today, God, is searching for more, may they find you and taste and see how amazing and wonderful you are. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.